Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hey, we had a little sound problem. I think I got to straighten out. If anybody can hear me, just type into the chat. Let me know that you can hear me. Thank you. I don't know what happened. Usually it's time to time, you know, being that we get listened to by certain law enforcement. Sometimes we have technical difficulties. So if you can hear me, just type into the chat that you can hear me. That would be great. Phil's not going to join us tonight. His sister's taking a turn for the worst. So if you could keep him and his family in your prayers, that would be great. And I'm waiting for a couple of people to call in because I had a nice experience the other night, last Friday night. Did my usual thing. I went downtown. And been down there for about an hour and a half, and I had a cup of coffee, talked to a couple of guys. Then I decided I'd go for a ride. So I got on my bike, I started up. I just happened to be riding the other bike, the Softail, and I made it 3 blocks before I got pulled over by the infamous officer who got me last year, and proceeded to walk around, tell me the reason he stopped me was that my pipe was too loud. Tried to tell him that I had a EPA sticker on a bike, certification in my saddlebag, and I would be glad to show it to him. He didn't want to hear any of that. It seems this guy's still in a 1973 mentality where anybody on a bike is a outlaw or a criminal. And it sucks. So he proceeded to tell me that the pipe was too loud. When I reached in to turn on or to take out my license and my registration and stuff, he proceeded to tell me to turn off my tape recorder or I was going to be arrested. So the next thing I know, I turn off the recorder because there's 3 of them there now with guns and tasers and shit, and I felt intimidated. Even though I had one guy standing behind me with his hand on his gun, that's the last I saw him because I never turned back around. So he moved closer to me. I knew that. I could sense his presence. But the other guy proceeded to take my license and everything, go talk to his sergeant, then come back. And the sergeant standing there with his arms folded, looking at me with a glare. And then he proceeded to tell me that I needed to take off my helmet so he can inspect it. And at that point, I replied, I refuse to give up those rights without a search warrant. Well, if you don't take it off, I'm going to arrest you for obstruction. Well, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. I proceeded not to take the helmet off. And repeat the same thing that I had said before. Let me take this call real quick. Hello. Hey, Mike. Come on, I'm doing my radio show right now. Call you back? All right, thanks, man. Thank you. There was a slight interruption. Anyway, I proceeded to tell them that I refused to give up those rights, you know, and the next question was, what's in your saddlebags? Well, again, I refused to give up those rights without a search warrant. Can I ask you what your probable cause was? His probable cause, again, was that I was wearing a improper helmet. He proceeded to tell me I was an habitual offender. And we went through this before. And I said, I'm not taking the helmet off. I refuse to give up that right unless you have a warrant. At that point, I was told I was going to be charged with obstruction. And I should have let him arrest me. That way he could explain to his superiors why he arrested a guy over a helmet ticket. But I didn't. I let him take the helmet. I don't want to say too much more about that because on the way home today, I just talked to a lieutenant at the OPD on the way home. And he basically asked me if this was going to be, I asked to talk to the superior. I figured, well, we'll see where that goes. And he asked me to give him till next Wednesday so he can talk to the other people involved. I said I would do that, and then he kind of hit me with something funny where he said, well, okay, again, is this complaint against all three officers? At that point, I said yes. The next thing I know, I said, well, you know what, as a matter of fact, I'd like to turn this in to a formal complaint. As you can see, I marked both boxes. I wanted to talk to you and then see where it goes from there, and I gave him a week. I figured it's not gonna hurt any. It's not gonna hurt him. So I see that in the chat, the person I'm waiting for to call is gonna call in as soon as I'm finished. At this point, I think I'm finished. So if you want to call in, caller, I'm not gonna say your name. We'll keep that under wraps right now. And if you feel comfortable later, you can say your name. But if you want to call in right now, that would be great. Yeah, I see Baker's in there. How you doing, Baker? And that was a great picture of the baby, man. I'm gonna put it up on. I'll put it up on the blog. I think we should share that. Being that that's sitting on the baby's first Harley, that's cool. Actually, there was two babies in that picture. One a babe and the other one the baby. So, yeah, we're waiting for... There he is right now. I'm going to bring him in. Hello there, caller.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? I'm not going to say your name right now at this point. That if you feel comfortable later, we'll do it, okay?
It's all right. I don't want to do it or not.
Yeah. No, well, I we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine.
I'm not particularly worried about it.
Okay.
Yeah, just a couple comments on what happened
sure.
Friday night.
Sure.
You know, speaking with the officer, the particular officer that basically arrested you, for lack of a better term, you know, it was pretty obvious that he wasn't familiar with the law, you know, in a couple of the issues at hand. I mean, one, you know, I made it pretty clear to him that he was not supposed to turn off the tape recorder. He obviously didn't understand that. I made it clear to him that California is a one-party state, that basically all you have to do is make him aware that you're recording a conversation.
That's
and he
correct.
Proceeded to argue with me. And I explained to him that there are only three states in the United States that are two-party states, and California is not one of them. So, you know, we went back and forth, you know, and obviously he brought up your name and asked me if this was about you, and I said, yeah, it was. I said, not only did you, you know, take his tape recorder and turn it off, but you also took his helmet. And, you know, as far as I understand, you know, you have to have a search warrant to take his property. And, you know, that brings up a good point. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about it because I read a lot of the case histories that you had sent me an email regarding that. And I guess it goes basically to an expectation of privacy, you know, when you're on a motorcycle, and plain view law. And I'm curious as to the relation between him pulling you over based upon the helmet violation, because that was his reason for, you know, initially pulling you over. And
no, his initial reason was because he said I had a loud pipe, so he walked around and seen who it was. And then he mentioned my name.
That's correct. That's right. That's right. You know, I guess he then proceeded to comment on your helmet and state that, you know, the helmet was not a DOT helmet, because he's an expert at determining that.
Well, there is no such thing as a DOT helmet.
I asked
the lieutenant that on the way home, and I also asked him, because the first thing out of his mouth was, did he give you a property receipt? No, he didn't.
Then he tried to
backtrack and say, well, he concedes it for evidence. No, he's never done that before. He's taking pictures because he knows he can't take the helmet.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. In California, if one of the reasons that he's basically, you know, giving you an infraction or whatever, you know, what the ticket's referred to, is a helmet, and the helmet's in plain view on your head, does that give him the right to inspect the helmet or to take a look at the helmet? Because it's directly related to the reason, one of the reasons that he's supposed to be pulling you over. And the problem, the argument here is a roadside determination and whether or not that's a legitimate reason to pull someone over or even comment on their helmet.
Right.
And that's the argument.
Which the Ninth Circuit Court said was absurd in a federal injunction.
And obviously he was unaware of that because I actually asked him about the multiple cases regarding roadside determination. I also asked him if he was aware that most of the law enforcement regions in the state no longer roadside determination based upon that particular case. And again, he wasn't aware of the case, so obviously he doesn't think he's in the wrong doing roadside determinations. I mean, OPD has made it pretty obvious that they feel that they're exempt from the same standards that the rest of the police force in the state of California is, because the majority
he'll
of them
tell you,
have
he'll
to
tell
stop.
You straight out. He'll tell you. When you mention the CHP memorandums and stuff, we're our own entity. We don't. I don't follow that. I'm my own entity. I do not follow that. When I sat in a room with a sergeant, two sergeants who agreed that they would follow that.
Well,
that's when he proceeded to tell me when I told him that. He said, well, if they'd have brought me into that meeting, I would have told them that that's not a proper helmet. But according to the statute and stuff that I put in their hand and they read it with the date, manufacturer, stickers, everything inside the helmet, including the VMS 218 sticker, they agreed, okay, we're done. No more helmet tickets will be issued unless the guy's being a total shit. Well, I wasn't,
you know,
being
the thing
a total
is
shit.
You're gonna have your day in court, obviously.
That's
and
correct.
A superior court in the state of California has said that roadside determinations are absurd, as you put it. I guess that would be the time to bring it up and to, you know, make that clear. Obviously, the precedence was set that, you know, a court higher than the traffic court in Vista made that call. You know,
higher than
the
commissioner, yes.
At some point, somebody with, you know, some legal horsepower needs to tell OPD that they have to stop doing it. Until then, they're going to be doing it. I mean, they've obviously made that very clear to you because you've already talked to various officers in the OPD, and they've
agreed
all
the way up to lieutenants. The funny thing is, all these guys ride the same kind of bikes we ride, have shotgun pipes, they wear beanie helmets, they have all the same shit that we have on our bikes. They ride.
Well, the problem with that is that the bike you were riding doesn't have shotgun pipes.
No,
they
it doesn't.
They weren't even particularly loud pipes, and if I recall, they were stamped pipes. So,
they were.
You know, they chose to ignore that fact. And, you know, the officer in question also clearly stated to me that he did not have to have a decibel meter, that he could make a roadside determination on how large your pipes were.
Again,
you know,
absurd.
I think that they've made it very clear that, you know, the same standards they expect you to follow, they're not going to follow. You know, they clearly post speed limits. They clearly put a stop sign up when they want you to stop. You know, they have traffic light cameras to take your picture when you cross a red light. But when it comes to them actually following those same standards to enforce the law, they feel exempt and above the law.
That's correct. I even slid the Allied Agency memo in front of the two guys with Bill in that room, and I asked them who signed it. They didn't know.
Well, you know, it goes back to that particular police department obviously has a problem with people who ride Harleys, especially riding them downtown and, you know, or in the downtown area. You know, they've made it very clear why they have a problem with you. They made it very clear to me. And, you know, I
can you elaborate on that?
Well, obviously they believe that you have affiliations with particular clubs that they don't like. They feel that, you know, downtown Oceanside is a haven for particular clubs that they don't like or that they feel are going to cause problems. And they're very dead set in their ways, and they're very dead set in their opinion that if they don't do something about it, if they don't nip it in the bud, that it's going to get out of hand. And both officers that I spoke with were very clear to me about how they felt about that. And I'm sure all the listeners of you can... What's that?
That or me.
Well,
that issue or me, an issue.
I'm
just a regular guy, man, out there. I'm helping. I help you. I help everybody that asks me for help.
They don't look at it that way, and they still have a mentality that it's 1974, and that, you know, I brought that up to them. I brought up the Oceanside police officer that was recently arrested and, you know, got in quite a bit of trouble. You know, I don't need to go into details, but I said, you know, the simple fact that, you know, that guy's a scumbag, can I automatically assume all police officers are scumbags? Because you're basically doing the same thing because you don't like a particular person or you think that there's a particular person in a club that's causing problems. You're basically going to convict everybody on a motorcycle. And they, of course, deny that, and they say that, you know, well, there's people that we've let go, but, you know, I made it very clear to him. I said, you know, when I'm at various biker bars or regular bars and we're all sitting around talking and the issue of helmets are brought up, I said, your name is the one that's brought up. Your name is the one people have a problem with. You go out of your way to hassle bikers. And at that point, I asked him what he thought he was accomplishing. And that's when he went into the issue with the clubs and, you know, the affiliations and things like that. And I said, then why are you messing with all the people who aren't affiliated? If you think that's a real problem, you know, you're going out of your way to bother everybody on a Harley, no matter who they are. And he said, your opinion about any particular club, it has no basis in fact. I mean, they have absolutely no reason nobody down there has caused any problems. Nobody.
No.
You know, and generally the fact is that when patch holders are in, you know, the fire water or any clubs down there, things tend to be a lot calmer than they normally are because people are less likely to get out of hand. I brought that up to him and said, you know, if anything, they're saving you a little bit of trouble. There's less fights. There's less people getting out of hand. If anything, you should be thanking some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue I brought up, and this is an important point that I think everybody needs to understand, especially any law enforcement officers that may be listening.
Oh, they're listening, dude. My little blue light's on in the corner. They're listening.
Well, you know, and I guess this goes out to everybody. Hassling bikers over minor minor traffic violations, you know, things like non-dot helmets, questionable pipes. All they're doing is hurting the opinion of the police officers involved.
They're hurting the opinion of the town. Every town around here, if you mention the word Oceanside, oh, them guys are a bunch of assholes. That's exactly what they say. Carlsbad, Vista.
Yeah, that is true, and I would agree with that in, you know, speaking with law enforcement officers in other cities and, you know, places that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And
San Diego,
you know,
hates them.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the point that when they're negatively affecting their opinion because of these actions, these, you know, minor violations, all they're doing is ensuring that people like you and a lot of the people that live down in Oceanside who ride bikes that, you know, may at one point witness an actual crime or, you know, maybe in some position to provide information that may help somebody, all they're doing is ensuring those people will never talk to the Oceanside Police Department because these people
Absolutely.
Feel like no matter what they say, you know, their rights are going to be violated. They're going to be hassled. The information they provide is going to be questioned. And I brought that up to the particular officer in question. I said, you know, what if there's a carjacking and one of these bikers witnesses? Do you think he's going to speak with you? And he pointed to the other officer, the traffic sergeant, and said, well, do you think they're going to speak with him? And I said, yeah, I know they'll speak with him because most of the bikers that hang around this bar have a good opinion of that officer. And that was the guy that you had spoke with later in the evening. I said,
right.
But the problem is they will never talk to you. They will never talk to you because you've unfairly targeted bikers for really some arbitrary reason that none of us can seem to figure out. And
right.
It really is arbitrary. They have no basis in fact that there are reasons for hassling these people, that these people are really causing any problems, that any of them are troublemakers, that they've caused any problems downtown. They haven't. You know, yeah, they're – Some of them, their pipes may be a little loud, but they're not even willing to bust out a decibel meter and actually prove that fact. So, again, it goes back to arbitrary enforcement of the law. And the worst part is it's arbitrary enforcement of traffic laws that are relatively minor. And the worst part is these laws actually do not affect safety in any way, shape, or form. We're not talking about people who are speeding. Most of these guys drive lower than the speed limit downtown. None of them have gotten speeding tickets that I've heard of. All of them are for pipes and helmets.
Exactly.
So these aren't things where they're endangering other people, yet the OPD is willing to jeopardize their opinion or valuable information regarding any real crime that may occur solely so they can write a ticket for really minor traffic violations and worse
right.
yet, traffic violations that have nothing to do with safety.
Right.
So,
it's just like up in San Jose, the chief of police up there, they have all their motor officers drive Harleys. And he specifically went and had every Harley get aftermarket loud pipes, as they say, loud pipes put on all those bikes because he feels it protects his officers if they hear the bikes coming.
Well, furthermore, the officers actually complained when they had put quieter pipes on. They felt that people couldn't hear them coming and that it was a severe safety hazard for them as motorcycle officers. I'm really familiar with that one, and I remember the news story when that was published. You know, and that sets a very good precedent in the state of California, and one that probably should be mentioned when you go to court and, you know, probably bring some documentation with you to actually show, look, here's a police, you know, a law enforcement group that actually, you know, backs up the use of louder pipes on a Harley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it's kind of a moot point because they're not even willing to use a decibel meter to actually measure your pipes. You know,
no.
Your pipes can be 2 decibels under the actual limit. He doesn't know. As far as he's concerned, that they're over the limit.
Right. This weekend on Sunday, I have the people who certify pipes in San Diego coming up. They're going to follow my exact route and be on the curb as I make my turns, as I decelerate and accelerate while I'm making my turns, and give me a sound reading for the 4 blocks before he pulled me over. Bikes are certified at 94 decibels. The legal limit right now is 96.
So I'd be really curious what the results of that would be.
I will give you a call. You can come down and watch.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I won't be around Sunday. I'm actually going to be out of town till Sunday evening, but I'll definitely give you a call and find out what the results of that are.
Sure.
You know, and again, it goes back to what I had mentioned earlier, that I really question what they feel like they're accomplishing by enforcing such trivial traffic violations, and worse yet, enforcing those violations based upon roadside determination. You know, I don't know. They feel like they have legitimate reasons, but unfortunately, they're going after everybody based upon the alleged actions of a few people. And again,
that's
those
true.
Actions are not based in fact. They say that they have intel that the average person like me isn't aware of. You know, obviously they're not going to talk about that intel, and I'm not going to try to get them to talk about it. But
I sent them California Public Record request to find out what that information is on me or any other biker that they have. They have 10 days to answer me. I mailed it Tuesday.
Yeah,
I also
know that's going to go nowhere.
Oh, yeah, probably. I'll probably have to get a court order, but I'm working on that. The other thing is I sent them a public service request for the standards that the city follows, that they have their police department follow. And according to the city attorney, they have no policy or procedure that they follow. And then it says that it follows the third question. The answer is, we follow the CHP memorandum. And they gave the point. And the one that they gave the point on is the one that I sat and said and slid in front of the sergeant after I handed him that helmet, and he told me it was legal and I could wear it.
Well, you know, that points to a bigger problem, that even the police officers in the same department don't agree upon.
Exactly, and it opened Pandora's box, because after that meeting, if you remember, no tickets were issued until I have the caller who got the first ticket after that meeting. And if you hold on a second, let me bring him in. And you know who this is. When you hear his voice, you'll know who it is. He's probably going to – I don't know if he wants to say his name or not, but let me find out. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Doc.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Say hello to the other caller.
How you doing, boss?
You've been listening, correct?
Yeah, I've been listening.
Okay, so all three of us know each other. All three of us are just three regular guys trying to do what we enjoy doing when we go for a ride. And our right to travel is impeded by one officer who feels he's above everybody else. Am I correct in my saying?
Oh, you're talking about Adolf Schickler.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, fuck that guy. The fine line of being a cop and being a respected one is a fine line, and then there's the being the asshole that takes advantage of the badge.
That's true, and
got picked on a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
if you guys remember, I sent you something about the FBI.
Yeah.
For the people that haven't heard this before. Give me a second to read something, and then I'll tell you guys exactly what I'm talking about. It says, since the FBI has Title 18 U.S.C. Section 242, deprivation of rights under the color of law, listed on their website, it appears they have the authority to investigate whether or not OPD is abusing its authority by targeting me and other motorcyclists. The abuses I recently spoke of are violations of my First, Fourth, and 14th Amendment rights. And then as it goes on, I've already talked to the FBI, and I talked to him again, and the guy I talked to yesterday told me to see if I could talk to the superiors of the three gentlemen involved that night when I got stopped. So I went down and I talked to him today, and he asked me to give him a week. But before I left, it turned from talking to a supervisor to an informal complaint. So now he has to talk to two other people, and then he'll get back to me by Wednesday. Wednesday evening is what he said, start of his shift. So If I get no satisfaction from OPD from discussions that ask them to stop targeting me and others for harassment, and I haven't gone to the city council yet, but I plan on doing that. We do all have the option to complain to the FBI. I also sent them the Freedom of Information Act to find out what documentation OPD has in all our files, not just my file, but all our files. Because I'm telling you right now, every time we talk to those guys, it goes down. They've either got the tape recorder going, or they're writing it down, word for word, after they talk to us. I know when I was talking. Go ahead.
I recall last Thursday there was I think her name was Fran, very intelligent remark or comment she made, and advice that she gave in regards to when an officer pulls you over. If you're riding your scooter, you call the police dispatch, dial 911 immediately. Because at that point in time, that dispatch, once they answer the phone, they are legally obligated to record the entire conversation. So if you get this cop to come up and tell you, like, who you're on the phone with, you know, like you say, you tell him, you know, you're being audio recorded right now. You're legally letting him know. This way, this can be used against him. If he starts telling you to hang up the phone, you can tell him, you don't have to hang up the phone. You're on the line with a 911 dispatch. At that point in time, you already got him telling you to hang up the phone, and he's already violating one of your rights right then and there. And who knows exactly what else he wants to violate once you do hang up your phone. Or if he was to take the phone from you and hang it up for you,
well,
then,
like when
all this is recorded. They can't lose the recordings.
Well, yeah, it's just like when they take the digital recorder out of your hand and turn it off.
Exactly.
Well, he's very clear on the fact that he can no longer do that. So that's not a question anymore. If he's to pull anybody else over who wants to record their interaction with that particular officer, he does know now that he cannot turn off the recorder. All you have to do is make him aware.
Make him aware.
You did, but at that time he claims he didn't know. But the traffic sergeant on scene that showed up that I talked to told him very clearly that you can be recorded. All he has to do is say, "I'm recording your voice." I would like to make another point. Since the other caller's on the phone, is I brought up the situation that happened a few weeks back where a particular motorcyclist and his girlfriend were pulled over, and she was attempting to call the registered owner of the bike to come pick up the bike. I think you guys are familiar with this situation.
Yeah.
And
one of
the officers more or less tore the phone out of her hand and basically told her that she couldn't make any phone calls. I brought that situation up to the officer I was speaking with, who was there, and the officer you guys are familiar with. And, you know, I asked him his opinion of that. I said, you know, did you think that was right? And, you know, he kind of crossed his arms and sort of got a puzzled look on his face. And I said, do you think he was justified taking that phone out of her hand and telling her she couldn't make a call? And he agreed that was wrong. He actually admitted to me he thought that was wrong. And, you know,
why did he let it continue at that point?
Well, obviously, you know, police officers aren't going to question each other in front of you or in front of somebody that they're, you know, that they're pulling over. You know, and I explained to him, I said, you know, he grabbed that phone out of her hand and she had her finger was injured. And I said, you know, I really caused a lot of problems for her hand. I said, you know, complaint was filed, and you know, I'm curious what happened with that. He didn't know about that, and he said that, you know, if a complaint was filed, he should have been questioned because he was on scene. But the funny part is,
did he not tell you that I filed complaints?
No, he didn't, and he really, I think he was hesitant to discuss too much of his interaction with you. But, you know, he had told me that. He obviously told me that if you wanted to go talk to him, that he would talk to you. And I said, you know, it's a hard situation because he feels like you're not receptive in anything he's saying. He feels like you're targeting him unfairly for arbitrary reasons. And he's made it pretty clear that he is, that, you know, they're targeting people that have patches on their back.
I don't have
up a, Well,
have a patch.
No,
I want to clarify.
But...
I want to clarify this right now. Okay, I don't have a patch. I have friends on all sides, in all clubs, all races, creeds, colors, whatever you want to call it. I have friends on all sides. We
yeah,
all have friends on both sides. We all have friends.
That clear. He made that clear, and he made it clear that, you know,
most of those guys down there, I've known.
Your affiliation?
My affiliation, yeah. I don't have an affiliation. I am neutral. I have friends.
Well, obviously, the OPD believes differently.
Absolutely.
You know,
because I just happen to be in the computer. That's the problem.
A particular motorcyclist that was pulled over with his girlfriend and her phone was ripped out of her hand. Obviously, they made it very clear that to me that they have a problem with that club, and they have a problem with that club based upon their perceived affiliation with other clubs at the Firewater. And clubs
I can tell you what that club stood for.
Say again?
I can tell you what that club stood for.
Well,
first,
it wasn't
even a motorcycle club. It was actually a memorial riders group, and their centerpiece was a battlefield cross that represents all the fallen heroes of the war, past, present, and future wars to come. And their bottom rocker said sacrifices made in regards to those servicemen and women that died in these wars, that gave their life in the war.
You know, I brought
I
that up.
Know
I
this because all
that
guys started that.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, and I what you just said, I brought up to Officer Schickel, and I had basically said, you know, look, we were both in the Marine Corps, and I said, you know, you're basically target guys, and you know, some of these guys have made sacrifices that you know you're very familiar with as a Marine, ex-Marine, and I don't really, in his opinion, in the opinion of the OPD. In spite of what that club stands for, and you know, I have friends in that club, and I, you know, I'm very clear about it. They really don't care. They're more concerned about they're more concerned about their perceived affiliation with other clubs downtown, and that is one of the reasons they made it clear to me. That is one of the reasons they target people with that particular patch on their back. So, it's unfortunate. It's not right. I think it's going to take a lot to change. I think that when Phil goes to court and presents a lot of the stuff that he's talking about here on the show in court, I can only hope, I think we can all only hope that that it makes a difference, that the traffic commissioner or hopefully the actual judge will, you know, consider all of those things, and hopefully the city council will consider all those things.
I just want to interject one thing with you guys. I went back and I sat down with a sergeant over there, and it was the night after my picture was taken wearing a shirt. And as you guys know, I do this show. I've been doing this show for well over a year now. We're worldwide, dude. Everybody, we're worldwide. We have Germany, Australia, Spain, Italy, Canada, from coast to coast, Mexico City, Guatemala, South America. We have calls coming from all over, or people tuning in from all over the world. And I told those guys that. They send me shirts. I wear. You've guys seen the shirts I wear. You guys know how I dress. I dress that way 24/7. I didn't know that I had to call and ask what color shirt I had to wear to ride my bike. If I would have known that, I would have made the call before I left the house.
Well, obviously, you don't know. This is the United States, so don't do that.
Well, Oceanside obviously feels that they stand apart from the morals.
I'm
going to
bring
up,
in fact, let me bring in this guy. He's calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Hold on 1 second. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Philip? How you doing, brother?
Good. How you doing? This is Doc, and the anonymous caller. If he wants to say his name, that's up to him. If he wants to remain anonymous, that's cool also. You got a comment, Charlie?
Hey, Doc, and the anonymous caller. Hey, everybody out there listening. Well, I do, man. I do. I do have a comment, and you know, I have a couple of comments. I guess from my standpoint, I'm listening to everything everyone says, and I'm living in Nashville. You know, I've spent a lot of my time in California, and I've lived there too, and I love that state, and I hope to move back soon. So with that being said, I think that if we as bikers want to have something, because what we're doing right now is we're discussing the situation as it is, as we have all these problems surrounding us, and it's in every state, and it's really killing me in California the way they're wearing it out. But I think that one of the things that we could possibly try and do, and I don't know if this is going to sound crazy, so I'm going to throw it out there, just like every other organization, and I'm going to throw this out there, we need to get somebody on our side elected. And that person needs to be a state representative, a congressman, whatever it is.
I have a congressman. I haven't gotten him involved yet. I talked to him. He called me from Washington, D.C.
We need to get another insider. We need to get someone like you, Philip, or someone in that position that has the ability and the want to go out there and be that face. Because here's the thing, you know, bikers around the country always go out and do all these wonderful things and great things. I'm a former Marine. We all go out there and we fight for Wounded Warriors. We fight for our charities, you know. You know, my personal thing is Feeding America and the Second Harvest that's around the United States of America. And all bikers will jump up and they'll run out and they'll do that charity for their fallen brother or whatever that is, and that's awesome. But we're in a position now where we all have to turn around as bikers and say charity begins at home. And what I mean by that is, as bikers as a whole, charity begins at home. We need to find and get that person to stand out and let that person go out there and back that person and get the right person elected and carry this as a campaign. And to keep this in the right context, you know, I'll throw this out there. You know, the NAACP does it. You know, the gays and lesbian people do it. It doesn't matter what the drive is. Those folks could not get where they wanted. They found a way to get someone elected, and it changed the whole process. That's what I think.
We already have. Let me backtrack a little bit. I did the Paralyzed Vets Run in Oceanside. And I did the Traveling Vietnam Wall. It started out where we were going to get proclamations from the city of Oceanside. We had it all arranged, everything. About a week before it happened, the both events, I had a picture taken of my back wearing a particular shirt. When I went back to talk to the individual who saw the picture and told me about it, he asked me, one, if I knew that the mayor used to be a policeman, and I said, yes, I did. He said, how do you feel about him knowing about your associations and your affiliations? And I reiterated to him again that I am neutral. Just because I know people here and I know people there doesn't mean that I am a patch holder. I could be if I want to be. I chose not to be. I chose to be on the outside, looking in, and helping my fellow bikers with what I'm doing right now, fighting for our rights, okay? This guy decided to tell me that if they called the mayor, we would not get the proclamations. Well, lo and behold, we never got the proclamations. So either a phone call was made, well, something had to be done because we didn't get the proclamations like we were told. And they didn't hurt me. They didn't hurt anybody else. They hurt the two causes that we were fighting for because I raised money for both those causes. And the same thing happened when I went to another charity ride. And it said going in was fine. Coming out, pull over, you take off your jacket. We want to see your tattoos. Nothing was mentioned about loud pipes. Nothing was mentioned about helmets. Nothing was mentioned about traffic infractions. Nothing. All they wanted to know was, take off your jacket. We want to see your tattoos. We want to know if you have any weapons on you, anything like that. They did a warrant check, and off you went. But that was it.
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying.
They didn't hurt me. They hurt the two causes that we asked. The city was the ones that said they were going to give the proclamations, not us. We didn't approach them. They approached us because we brought 5,000 bikers into the town that day on those two dates.
But I totally agree with what you're saying, Philip. I totally agree with that situation and how that went, and it went wrong, and I totally agree, and I'm right there behind you, and I totally agree. What I'm saying is that we as bikers throughout the United States of America have been faced with a ton of problems. And what we're doing is we're all talking about the problems we're being faced with, and we have to get harder about finding solutions. And I'm still saying that from what I recognize at my age in my 40s, that, you know, when you want to make a serious change in politics, you got to get somebody into the politics. Because
we have a guy
on the outside. You got to get
a guy. We have a guy. We have a guy in San Diego that the biker community is
back.
The last 20 years.
That's big enough to stand up to the state and to the Congress and everything that stands up and says, hey, and it's got to come from farther within. It's got to come from within right now. We need a new guy. We need a roots guy. We need a grassroots guy that can take it, and it doesn't matter if he's coming out of New York or Virginia or California or Idaho. It doesn't matter. Wherever that guy comes from, we need that guy, and we need everybody to kind of stand up and make that situation to where it's no different than any other, if you want to call it a special interest. You know, it's not a special interest to me. It's our freedom. It's our rights. It's our rights as Americans, but it may be perceived as a special interest. And if you're going to end up fighting as a special interest in the situations that we are around the country, then we're going to need that one special interest guy that's the shit. And he's going to need to be backed, and he's going to need to be backed by bikers across the United States of America, and he's going to need to be funded that way, and it's going to need to stand out. That's just my opinion. I'm just giving an opinion.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Doc?
I agree 100%. Unfortunately, the hard part is finding that 1% in particular to go ahead and take that step forward and make sure that they don't get corrupted along the way. You know, we got to find someone that's going to be strong enough to where they're not going to bend just because the tide is too heavy.
You know, well, we got some brothers in the business, man, and when I say in the business, I'm talking about the business of politics and the business of stuff, you know. How about, you know, I don't want to throw the name out there because I don't want to throw his name out there in case he wouldn't appreciate it. But, I mean, we know, Philip, when we were here in Nashville doing our event, you know, we had a brother ride in, you know, who's an established attorney who's been fighting hard on the East Coast for rights. Those kind of cats right there with those creds and those type of creds of fighting and those type of credentials that come along with it, you know, who knows if a person like that wouldn't want to carry it farther. Bikers are attorneys, they're doctors, they're everybody, and there's certain folks out there that, you know, some of us may carry some stuff in our background that they'll tear us to pieces. Sure, I would love to go out there and run for Congress, but hell, I'd get torn to pieces, man. My ass has had too much trouble in the background, you know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of them out there, that a lot of guys that are fighting right now today that I'm not sure that they wouldn't step up to the plate if they knew they had a national backing, if they knew they had a support of more than one group, more than one club, more than one.
We have a guy here in Oceanside. Doc.
Yeah.
He happens to be a white haired gentleman with a beard. I won't say who it is, but
exactly.
If he put out a call to action, I guarantee we'd see results. The only problem is I haven't had a chance to talk to him in about a week because of the situation going on and with his family life.
Yeah.
And as soon as I get a chance to sit down with him, I'm going to do that, and we'll see where we'll go from there, because he knows the congressman also that I'm talking about. This guy was at the helmet protest ride from start to beginning. Stood there in the trenches with everybody when we left. Stood right there and listened to the cops talk to us about this and that. For one day, I guess they figured, it's just one day, we'll leave them alone. But we had almost over 150 bikers show up for that event. Yeah, it's like, the funny thing is, though, you know, when you get guys and you ask what to do and how to do it, nobody's geared for it. It's just like with that SB 435. When people found out it was 1983 and beyond, everybody, my phone was ringing off the hook for information. Once they heard that it was going to be 2000 and beyond, I never heard from those people. Now that people found out it's 2011 and beyond, don't hear from those people.
Look, charity begins at home with the biker community. And I mean at home with the biker community, not at your house right now where you're sitting, not with your situation with your pipes or whatever that is. I'm talking about as the bikers as a whole, thinking of us all as a community in our home. And that's where we have to get everybody involved. And I agree with what you're saying about the white-haired guy who would come into this. I would agree 100%. And it would take a nice little team of folks and our East Coast guy that I mentioned a while ago to come in
right there.
And all of this stuff together, organized, because what people recognize is organization. Politics
mm-hmm.
and the process recognizes organization. And
well,
that is
it's
what
like,
is, it, you know, even with the clubs that are deemed as outlaws and all the bad stuff that they talk about or they try to portray, it's because these clubs have achieved a level of organization, and we need, as bikers as a whole, to achieve a level of organization, and all people need to unite in a way that would take that to the map and say, hey, look, this is all crazy, and here we are, and you're not going to do that to us. In the same way, you're not going to do, the gays are saying you're not going to do that to us, and I'm not singling out anybody. The same way that, you know, the blacks are not going to do that to us, and I'm not being prejudiced or on any level, I'm saying from all levels and walks of life, when someone feels put down, they organize in a massive way, and the only way to defeat it is to go down that path. That's just,
you know, I have just ordered some shirts from the East Coast. Bolton, Massachusetts has some shirts where they have their Boston issue with the pipes, where you could get a $300 ticket for your bike being parked on the street because they can't read your EPA sticker. So the shirts are going to say, it's going to have the Gadsden flag in the center. Across the top it says, I will not let, and then it's going to have Oceanside PD, Oceanside PD, build my motorcycle. They'll be here in about 2 weeks. And don't worry, Doc, I got one for you, extra large.
Hey, I want one of those. You know, I'm thinking about making extra helmets that have some of the stuff that I have written on my helmet, on those helmets, like FOPD.
Now, here's the thing.
Well, I just won't make it for sale.
Yeah, but here's the thing, okay? It's like I told you before. Here's the deal. Like the caller, the first caller said, he's never heard of a guy getting a speeding ticket or anything. In our group, the people that we know, okay, and we know a lot of, Doc, you and I know a lot of people with a lot of things, okay? Now, here's the thing. You never see those guys. When's the last time you've heard one of those guys talk that they got a speeding ticket from these guys? It's not a speeding ticket. It's a bullshit ticket for a helmet or a loud pipe or something stupid, okay?
Yeah, selective enforcement, right?
Selective enforcement. Selective. Okay? Here's what they feel. If they like you, okay, I know you're into it. I don't even want to say the amount of fines you paid already. You know what I'm talking about. They figure if they hassle you enough, give you enough tickets, it costs you enough money, you're gonna walk away. Okay? I won. My first one, I won my appeal. Okay? This one, I'll probably win it too because of the simple fact my civil rights were violated. There's a civil lawsuit going to come down. There's probably going to be a lawsuit against the city, starting with the mayor on down. Council members, chief of police, everybody that I talk to, I'm seriously, it's written out. All I have to do is put the cast of characters in it.
Nice. Once you get that check, you can help me pay off some of these fines.
Absolutely. The other thing is, I want you guys to hold on for a second. Don't hang up. Just stay on the call. I'm going to bring in somebody else. Hello, caller.
Could be a party.
Hello, caller. Are you there? Jen, are you there, Jen?
This is Fran. How you doing?
Fran, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
That's good. Doc, your ears must have been burning. Doc was talking about you a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, geez. I knew I had to call in then. I'm sorry I can't
get Fran, on the phone, I have Charlie Baker out of Nashville, Tennessee, and I have Doc out of Oceanside, California, if you want to say hello.
I've missed you.
Well, it's funny. Wait a minute. I got to turn the computer off because I'm getting feedback. I'm sorry.
Tell her what you said, Doc.
What? Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Can you hear what you said?
I said I've missed you, Fran. You're actually the comment you made last Thursday is something I've been glowing about this past week in regards to getting a massive movement to people just riding without helmets and making a stand and a point. You know, not to be an asshole, but to make a stand, to make a point.
Well, I caught only a few minutes while I was trying to find the phone number to call in. And you were saying about being a bullshit ticket and so forth. If it were a car driver and a cop wanted to pull a car over, it's real simple. They would say, well, your license plate light isn't on. And then they pull you over, and that's what they would use as an excuse. They're always going to have an excuse of some kind to pull anybody over. That's rule number one. Rule number two is have everything lined up to not let the officer go any further. So at that point, you know that he's going to ask for driver's license, insurance, and registration. Okay, so at that point, you have all those nice little things in a baggie, and you say, which one would you like first, officer? And then you go from there. As far as finding out what officers, you know what, they're going to pick on us. And when you said get us all in the same line and everything, that's bullshit. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I have gone to every single club and said, look, unite, we become one. We stay as we are. You're going to be lucky to even be able to ride. So to unite means nothing to the young people because they don't understand what the hardships and what is at stake. We know what's at stake because we've already been around the block a few times. For me, more than a few times. So that's my piece tonight.
You know, the other thing that you said that I liked a lot, the advice that you'd given for when an officer pulls you over and you call a 911 dispatch, that dispatch is legally obligated to record the entire conversation. So at that point in time, you know, you were stating that if an officer was to say something, you know, hang up your phone or...
Okay, now,
you
know, okay.
Your legal advice. I think that was awesome piece of advice.
Phil?
Yes.
For you, for what you would have to say is, because it's a 911 phone call, I have been pulled over a number of times, and I have been threatened, and I want to make sure that this is a true above-board pullover. The officer is approaching me now. I'm going to put my phone on my tank. You'll be able to hear us. But, yes, I am concerned for my life. And that's got to be in that recording. Because if not, then they can turn around and say, what are you calling us for? You've got an officer there.
That's why I'm calling
you. Oh, okay.
When you tell them, that's why I'm calling you.
Okay.
I would. Hey, Doc, sit still. You're making too much noise.
What's that?
Sit still. You're making too much noise. Work on the bike later.
I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting on my ass.
Okay.
So am I.
Somebody working behind you? You're getting the feedback.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing anything.
Okay. I apologize.
I'm a total Mexican today. Lazy.
What else are we convincing about tonight?
Basically, you know, like somebody typed into the chat room that I should get a bait involved. Well, we all know a bait picks their battles. They also get funding. And as we all know, 2 weeks ago, they folded up in Sacramento on the SB 435 bill. If you'd like to comment on that or the comment I just made, go ahead.
A bait is a political force. We are an MRO, as you know. and we cannot take sides for anybody. We will fight for all the bikers because that is what we do. Now,
well, then why did everybody get upset when the guy said they were going to stay neutral?
There was a reason for that, and sometimes in the political realm, one has to make abstaining is the same way, is same as saying no. The politicians have been using it for years. So essentially what happened is we abstained from giving a yes or no.
Okay.
It became a no vote.
Okay, I just received an immediate release from the MRF today. Okay?
Okay.
It says, from the MRF, Motorcycle Rights Foundation.
Right.
Okay? Now, this came from someone in Bolt, USA. Okay?
Okay.
This is what the man writes, and then he puts the article below it. It says, perhaps this is what Bubs is worried about. Bubs was mentioned in that bill, okay? This is perhaps what Bubs is worried about. The MRF New Motorcycle Riders Foundation, 10 NR21 MRF News Release. EPA, US EPA considers lowering motorcycle sound emission levels. The Motorcycle Rights Foundation has learned that the United States Environmental Protection Agency has begun collecting data from the industry to consider lowering the allowable decibel level for motorcycles. Currently, the allowable sound on any vehicle can generate is capped at 83. That is incorrect. It's 96 in California for the bikes that I have.
Correct.
Okay. The EPA has sent letters to 9 companies that either import or build aftermarket exhaust systems or complete motorcycles. The small sample size is troubling for a couple of reasons. First, it is not representative to the much larger motorcycling community that will be affected by the changing the regulation, rendering the survey results questionable at best. Second, any time a federal agency wants to spend taxpayer money, survey a group of 10 or more individuals or organizations, they must attain approval from the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. The approval process isn't easy and can often be drawn out, giving American citizens the right to weigh in on the agency's application for permission to survey. However, when an agency only contacts 9 organizations, they don't have to tell anyone or get permission from the OMB to move forward on the survey, making the process less or lack transparency. Why just motorcycles? It appears the EPA doesn't want to curb all noise or even all vehicle noise, just noise coming from two-wheeled vehicles. We at the MRF find that distinction discriminatory and simply unacceptable, not to mention that it suggests a more personal agenda and not an agency-wide push. What sort of impact will new decibel levels have on retailers and ultimately motorcycle owners? Alarmingly, this does not appear to have been addressed. After reviewing the survey questions, it appears that the EPA is only concerned with the impact on manufacturers. While the public correspondence has not revealed the EPA's true intention to lower the allowable decibel limit, the EPA indicated in a private phone call with the MRF that it would certainly not be raising the standard or keeping it the same. That leaves one option, lowering the decibel standard for motorcycles. The MRF is working with Congress to get the EPA to explain their intentions and motivations. The MRF is also working to meet directly with EPA to further determine exactly what is going on with this issue. And then I have the questionnaire here. I can send it to you guys. I'll forward this to you. It's in a PDF file.
I can open a PDF.
I'll send it to you. Guys can open it up.
I can open the PDF. And now the questionnaire.
Yeah.
You're going to send me?
Yeah.
Now what I'm going to do is, because I don't have the questionnaire in front of me, is this something just for acknowledgement, or is this something we should actually do?
Well, what I'm going to do, Fran, I'll send it to you right now so you can see what I'm talking about. I'll send it to both of you right now. In fact, all three of you. It's going to come right now.
Because is this something that our membership should take just so that they understand what we're up against? Or is
yes.
this something for the board level? What is the...
I would tell with this yeah. just being sent out today for immediate release, I would tell everybody I know.
Okay.
I would spread this like a rumor in church. I would tell everybody I know.
Okay,
here's what it says. I sent it to you guys right now, but here's what it says. Questions on motorcycle aftermarket exhaust manufacturing operations. In order to assess the potential economic effects of any design changes and new noise testing for rules for motorcycles, mopeds, and aftermarket replacement exhaust systems, we are requesting information on sales, volumes, prices, and the cost of manufacture. Your company may assert a business confidentiality claim covering part or all of the information. Information covered by such a claim will be disclosed by EPA only to the extent and by procedures set forth by law in 40 CFR Part 2, Subpart B. You should clearly identify such pieces of information at the time it is submitted using a cover sheet, stamped or typed legend, or labeling indicating that the information is company confidential, preparatory, or a trade secret. If no such claim accompanies the information when it is received by the EPA, it may be made available in the public docket without further notice. So when you scroll down to look at here's what it is. The general information is the facility name, facility street address, the corporate owner, the address, industry classification, the North American Industrial Category System, or Standard Industrial Classification, SIC code. Company size, approximate number of employees, the business enterprise that owns this plant, including where applicable, the parent company and all its subsidiaries, branches and unrelated establishments owned by the parent company. Answer may be given using the following ranges, 0 to 100 and all the way to 1,500 and above. The number of employees involved in motorcycle and aftermarket replacement exhaust system manufacturing, packaging, importing, or market operation. Is your company a small business as defined by the U.S. Small Business Administration, yes or no? Is your company a disadvantaged business as defined by the U.S. Small Business Administration, yes or no? Does your company also manufacture original equipment exhaust systems, i.e. not aftermarket, for used or newly manufactured motorcycles, yes or no? Does your company manufacture customized aftermarket exhaust systems, yes or no? Estimated overall revenues of the company. Estimated revenues from motorcycle and their exhaust system manufacturing operations. Estimated revenues from a customized motorcycle exhaust system manufacturing operations, if applicable. Does your company export motorcycles and or motorcycle original equipment or aftermarket exhaust systems, yes or no? Does your company manufacture aftermarket devices such as a manual or electronic exhaust muffler, bypass equipment, straight pipes, catalytic converters, etc.? If not, what companies manufacture the products your company distributes? So basically, this sounds like they don't want to blow the whistle on everybody you know. Technical content.
Well,
person to answer questions
that.
About this information, name and title, telephone, email. Then it goes into testing. Cost effects of the testing standards, the products, and then table two is a blocked area where it says product type and marketplace, number of unit models sold, number of units sold, manufacturer, import or export, repackaged. Current costs and prices in order to evaluate the potential impacts of any increases in testing costs. We are requesting information on sales prices and cost to manufacture. Please provide the information in Table 3 for the different types of products that your company sells, excuse me, or for each model of product you prefer. It just goes on. So far we're at question 22. How would you rate each company in the motorcycle original equipment or aftermarket exhaust system industry that you are aware of with regard to their share of the total motorcycle exhaust system market or any specific product in the U.S. market? Very significant. Significant, not significant.
Oh,
That's the end. 22 questions they have to answer.
Basically, hey, I got a quick question.
Sure.
Okay, the Screaming Eagle pipes. Now, would that be considered stock or aftermarket?
Screaming Eagles are aftermarket.
Even though it's a product made by Harley-Davidson? Or is it not?
Yes. Yes.
Because everything
that... According to SB 435, those would be legal pipes.
Wow, even though they're sold by Harley Davidson.
Yes, a friend of mine bought a new bagger. He went in and he had the pipes came on the bike when he bought it. He asked the guy, "Are those the ones that they're talking about?" And the guy told him no. When I gave him the list and he flipped at the list and he went back and he told they changed his pipes.
Wow.
Yeah, those are considered aftermarket, and a couple of the Harley shops here, whatever pipes came in, because, and this goes back 2 years ago, they actually stopped installing any pipes on a Harley unless it was a manufactured Harley pipe that belonged to that bike. Yeah, SNS
right.
Out in Oceanside, they got hit by the inspectors big time, like $20,000 worth. And hell, there's only three guys or four guys that work in that shop.
Right.
And they
I'm gonna bring in another caller that you guys know. Hello, Betsy.
Yes, Philip.
Hello. Say hello to Fran and Doc.
Hey, Fran. Hey, Doc. How you doing?
Patriot had to step out, but he'll be back.
Okay.
What do you want? What do you think about that, Betsy?
Oh my God! Pandora's box has opened, and motorcycling, as we know it, is going to change unless we stand up and fight like hell. That's what I think.
I think we're going to go to European standards.
God, I hope not.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah,
see, and here I was going to revel about the Falmouth decision where the Attorney General's office today issued a statement that the town or city of Falmouth couldn't enact a noise ordinance that superseded the state's. One small victory, and then I hear this, and it's like that just went down the hopper.
Okay. I want to throw something in. there's a federal standard, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That you cannot go below a federal standard. However, a state can make it stronger. Oh, John just said not anymore. But I thought they could.
What we have happening, and I don't know if you realize this, is that, well, I'm from Massachusetts. I'm not sure what state you all are from, but...
California for me.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're CA, I'm MA. Anyway, what's the name?
And I'm PO'd.
I hear that.
What's
been happening is communities have decided that they're going to throw the state statute out the window and enact their own. And they're going to use the manufacturer's EPA stamp, which has nothing to do with consumers. In other words, if you don't have an original EPA stamp on your exhaust, you'll be subject to a fine and a ticket and the whole nine yards.
That just goes, Betsy, to the same point of having a dot sticker on your helmet, okay?
Exactly.
If you got the dot sticker, you should be able to ride your bike,
right?
Okay? With any helmet you choose, as long as, in California, according to Commissioner Farrell, as long as we're not wearing a tin pot or a baseball cap, they don't care what we wear on our head.
Right.
Doc just won. He just got a not guilty verdict out of San Bernardino, which was huge. When we went to court down here, we're not San Bernardino. We don't follow San Bernardino.
Right.
So it's another case of, I'm going to do what I want because I'm sitting in this chair and you're going to take it.
Right. Well, this is what we're pretty much seeing, although you know, we were in touch with the Attorney General's office today and the City Councilor's office, and we sent them the information to see if they would turn around and back down with their noise ordinance. But, you know, it's a wait and see, and it's a game, and there's still more stuff to be uncovered. With politics, you don't know who's bedfellow with whom, you know?
This is kind of what it always goes back to. In whose backyard are you playing in?
Right.
If you are in a township that the mayor and the police commissioner, they despise bikes, they don't want bikes in their town, and they're a very affluent town.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do everything that they can to ensure and discourage and not and make it so that you are not there.
And that's exactly what the city councilor's office said to me today. His aide said to me, well, it worked, didn't it? People, you know, boycotted Boston, or the bikers boycotted Boston. And I said, well, you know, you may have won on that level, but the vendors weren't happy. I said, because they lost a lot of biker bucks.
You want to join me?
Absolutely. The businesses here in this town went down when this first started happening with all this bullshit with the helmet tickets and the get back whips, and now they're using the pipes as an excuse also.
Well, that's succession. That's the next thing. They can't get you with the helmets. They'll try the exhaust. They're going to try every venue they can until they find one that sticks. It's like, let's throw this against the wall. If it sticks, pretty good. And it's just sad. In fact, I said to the aide today, I said, you know, I've stood on the street corner in the North End in Boston, and I said, I don't hear motorcycles. What I hear are the young studs coming down the street with the bass turned up so high on their boom, you know, their radios, that my chest reverberates, and I'm 10, 15 feet away. I said, to me, that's more obnoxious sounding than any, you know, motorcycle exhaust system. I said, and yet you target my bikers.
Right. Well, Fran's gonna bring the meter, and we're gonna do that this weekend. I'm gonna drive the route that I drove the other day.
Where are you gonna be?
If you want to do the same thing, Doc, I'll let you know what time.
Now, here, what we did here, Philip, is I told you we had voluntary testing. It was done in conjunction with the MMA and the police department, and I got a certificate that shows my pipes are well within the allowable decibel level here in Massachusetts. Maybe it's possible the Abates could set something up like that, and then
people could have
a certificate in their wallet that they carry around.
Fran, you want to comment on that, please? Fran?
Did we lose her?
No, she's still there. She might have had to step out for a minute. But what I'm going to tell you is Bait 6, John Del Santo and his wife, Fran, have the meter. Once a month when they have their meeting at Kate Sessions Park, if you want to go down there, they'll sound test your bike for you.
So get a certificate or any kind of paperwork?
Well, that's just it. You need a certificate. So
You'll get the paper. You'll get the paper. All it's going to cost you, I think it's $20 now or $30, and you join a bait.
Oh, I see. You have to be a member to get it tested. Okay.
You don't have to be a member because I have certificates.
Oh, okay.
Here,
it's just that, you know, we had the police officer sign the thing. I mean, that gives a little more credence to it and a little more weight. So that's what I was wondering, if ABATE could possibly, you know, work in conjunction to do a voluntary testing out there like we do here, and then issue a certificate that has both, like, the president or director of ABATE and the local police officer who's there that particular day. Because then that's like a valid certificate, you know what I mean? It's one thing to, you know, just have somebody from ABATE do it. It's another to have someone representing the local police department signature on there too, you know. It just gives more weight to it.
Right.
Just a thought. You know, what worked here may not work there. I don't know.
You know, it's just like what happened. Like, we've talked. I mean, we could beat this like a dead horse.
I know.
You know, it's the one thing is, I'm trying to multitask here. My daughter just snuck in and handed me a paper to see if I would buy ice cream.
Oh, okay. I'll take some.
Sure. Probably my luck, though. The guy won't have chocolate again. But, no, it's like I try and tell people what happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it happens on the West Coast first, it's going to happen on the East Coast, okay? We have, in your town, Betsy, we have one of your guys that's on this bill in California.
Yep.
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay?
And what the
why?
Hell is he doing? We're trying to figure out why he's sticking his nose in California business. What's in it for him?
Exactly.
And if he stuck his nose in there, where else did he stick it? You know, because there's noise ordinances popping up all over. Colorado, New Hampshire, Connecticut, all over in Massachusetts. I mean, this is like everywhere now. Myrtle Beach, you know. So, like, where else? And are all of these politicians banding together against us? You know, this is some scary stuff that's going on. That's why we have to stay vigilant and meet them at every corner and, you know, fight. If we don't fight for our rights, pretty soon they're all going to be gone. I mean,
right.
Motorcycling could be outlawed. Think about it. In certain places, not here in the U.S., but abroad, it's illegal to ride a motorcycle.
Right.
And if we're not careful, that'll happen here. These are the little steps that are heading right towards that end. So we have to use whatever means we have to curtail that from happening.
Exactly. I mean, I'm frothing at the mouth. I want to find out what this guy is going to get out of this and why he's in fucking Boston sticking his nose over here.
Yep.
Nobody can give you the correct answer, huh?
Well, nobody knows yet. There's still a lot to be found out.
You know, it's like now I'm probably going to get 90 to 100 emails, 200 emails on why I just mentioned that. But, you know, because I'm tired. I'm tired of getting fucking bent over for nothing. Why, you know, I defended this fucking country. I did shit I didn't have to do. I went to countries I didn't have to go to that I didn't want to fucking be in the jungles and fucking bullshit to come back to this and be treated like this. It's fucking,
I know.
It sucks. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, you know, it's
I'm not even happy that when I walk to the mailbox in the first of the month, my fucking check is there. That even discourages me now. Sometimes I'm fucking ashamed to be here.
I hear you. I mean, I got lambasted the other day myself. You know, why don't I take the word of people? I'm sorry, I'm just not that type. You know, I don't live in the show me state, but show me. You know, just
right.
Don't tell me I have to take somebody's word for something because they're a well-respected person. You know, I don't respect the leader of our country. I'm going to respect somebody who's the head of some group.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Show me the evidence. Show me the black and white. Don't tell me somebody saw something and this is what it said. Show me what that person saw. Then I may believe it.
Right. I sent out the action alert email from
the MRO.
I'm thinking at the same time, and I'm trying to find it.
I know.
I want to make sure I hit the right. I want to make sure I hit the right key on this one. It starts out, and it's from somebody in California.
Yep.
It says, I am asking for your help against SB 435. I sent this out, and the guy's listening. I know he's listening.
Mm-hmm. And he got an answer back. And if he doesn't mind, if he could shoot me an email telling me if it's okay if I read what he got back. And I found it. I have it. And I'm going to ask him right now. He's in the chat. I'm going to ask
him. Okay.
Can I read the letter that he got back? Or if he wants to call back in, then I'll let him call back in.
Okay.
But I'll read his response from Senator Pavley. I just sent it to him. I'm gonna wait for a little reply. Let's see. Brandon, are you still there?
She must have stepped out.
Okay. Something might have happened. She might have had to get out. She might have had to help John. But, no, it's bullshit. Even the letter that she sent is bullshit. Because she made the comment, well, I don't want to say nothing about read his letter. Let me see. So, Betsy, how was your ride today?
Well, I took the dog with me. I went over there, sold a couple of T-shirts, networked a little, sold the patch, and started clouding over, looking like it was going to rain. So I came home to get my newsletter done because my computer just locked up on me today. So I came home to recreate everything I already did once. So it was
right.
A short ride.
Okay. And the other, you know, it's like, this is, I mean, there is, the bottom line with this bill is there's no groundswell support. Even though they had 600, you can watch the video. There were 600 bikers in the room. And I guess they had over 36,000 signatures.
Uh-huh.
And just to get 600 bikers in a room like that with Senate,
that's,
you know.
That's huge.
That's huge, exactly. You know? It's like I got an email from Ira today where he's coming. He's going to come in. I guess he bought some property in California, and he's coming out.
Uh-huh.
He notified everybody on it. I think I sent you that, FB. I need help.
I got to look. I have like 2,300 emails.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. I need help, it's called.
Right. Okay, here it is. Let me check the chat again.
All right, let me do SB 435 and see if it comes up.
Okay.
I just see California.
I got the okay.
Does need our help, SB 435.
Right.
From, oh, are you talking about
the one that says, I need your help.
With the initials DB?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Here we go.
I am asking for your help.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now I found it.
Okay. This letter from the senator was dated Wednesday, July 14th.
Can you get me a copy of that?
I will. At 7:48 a.m. Well, I'll have to get permission first. I know he gave me anything he sent me, he told me I can read on the air, but let me see if I can forward it.
Okay.
I'll find out. Okay? But it says, I wrote Senator Pavley. Here's the response I received. We can talk about it on the show if you like. I have not found anything from any motorcycle organization backing up her claim that she's working with the opposition. She uses the word opposition.
Hmm.
The implication makes it very clear that she has a lot more to do with the simple noise and pollution ordinances. Also notice the first paragraph, she contradicts herself claiming the bill no longer deals with smog issues, yet it is still a secondary infraction, leaving room for abuse at the discretion of the officer. It's going to be just like a fucking helmet ticket. You're going to have to fight it the same way.
Mm.
It's going to be so vague that you're going to have to fight it and go in and prove yourself. And I'll let you guys know something. Fighting a helmet ticket is more than fighting a murder conviction. It's more time consuming and everything. Because I was told, I'm like, my mind's running 1,000 miles an hour right now.
But this is
Senator Pavley's correspondence, okay? Thank you for your correspondence. This is the answer to the letter she received. Thank you for your correspondence regarding the opposition to SB 435. The bill no longer deals with smog check for motorcycles. SB 4035 simply makes it a secondary infraction, dismissible upon proof of correction for a motorcycle's muffler not to bear its federally required EPA stamp starting in 2011. This stamp has been federally regulated, required on all new and aftermarket exhaust equipment since 1983. And it is a simple indicator of whether or not that equipment meets the legally required noise emission standards established by the federal government. This bill is only applicable in California going forward from 2011. And it is a modest fix-it ticket. I understand that some motorcycle owners are concerned about replacement part availability for older bikes and manufacturer compliance with this stamp requirement, among other concerns. I have been working with the opposition organizations, and I will continue to do so in order to ensure that this measure is fair, equitable, and reasonable for all motorcycle owners and is consistent with requirements for all vehicles. I appreciate hearing from my constituents on this issue, and I assure you that I will continue to work with all the stakeholders on this bill to ensure that it does not contain any unreasonable requirements for complaint and law-abiding motorcyclists. Sincerely, Fran Pavley, State Senator, 23rd District.
Wow.
Sounds like a load of shit to me.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like doublespeak.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, you know, she acknowledged that it would be unrealistic for the old bikes to have to revert back to the stock pipes, as many motorcycle owners could not obtain them. I mean, if I had a 48 or a 46 panhead and I had to try and find that exhaust,
I'll forget
shit.
About it.
Forget about it.
The other thing is, you know, here's what they don't get. The EPA stamp was not meant for the consumer. It was meant to show that the manufacturer is compliant at the time of manufacturing and selling the vehicle. And you and I both know, we've discussed this before, it's only good for a year or that 3,730 miles after that because of carbon buildup, et cetera, et cetera. It's null and void. So how they keep trying to hang their hats on that, I don't even understand. It's like
exactly
ridiculous.
Exactly. You know, it's like, I mean, the chat room is just flying off the charts, Betsy. I don't know if you're looking at it.
I'm not, I can't get in there. I don't know why it doesn't let me in, but,
okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I am seeing it.
Okay.
Back on city fees. Okay. I think I'm actually seeing it.
Uh-huh.
Phil, I'd also like to point out that what we have, imagine trying to argue with a cop that your bike isn't a Harley or even a manufactured bike. What about custom bikes?
Exactly.
What designates?
Exactly. I mean, I know of only one.
famous
I know of only one person.
Are there around today. There's a ton of them.
Right. But I only know two people, two guys working out of a shop up in Westminster, California, who are EPA and CARB certified with everything they produce.
Really?
Yes.
I don't even think the others ever tried, you know, because before it was never an issue. Imagine now. How many people are going to be affected by this? How many businesses are going to go under? How many people will be out of jobs?
Well, I'm here to tell you that
it's the whole domino effect.
I stopped in to see Bill, and he wasn't there. He was at his he was with his sister at the hospital.
Yeah.
And this was about a week and a half ago, and I was talking to Michael, Bill's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing out of Michael's mouth was, "Phil, you know what? I'll just close the shop, get a building, and just do my imports or exports out of the country, and I won't have to worry about that bullshit," because he said it would kill him. It would make
Yeah,
it would,
but you know what? That he shouldn't have to give up his business. You know, people shouldn't have to give up their business. They have the right to make a living. I'm speechless. When have you ever known me to be speechless? I'm just so flabbergasted.
I could tell, but that's another show.
As you
do it again, look in the mirror as you do it again.
I'm just like beside myself with what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, and I've known Michael for almost 25 years, and I've never heard him say that, never. About going out of business. I've never heard him say that.
Wow. It's just,
you know,
shouldn't even
I'm looking at the chat right now, and I have 5,964 people either on the computer or listening by the phone.
Uh-huh.
Well, on the phone, we have another 6,200 people, so that puts me at almost 12,000 people tonight, and I think that's fantastic. I thank everybody.
Wow, that is awesome.
I just want to interject that this is the first time that I've had that many people involved in listening, and I appreciate it.
Well, this is quite a
topic, now on,
and it affects all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I hit a nerve or what, but to get that many people on a Thursday night, hey, I'm doing something right.
I'm sure you hit a nerve. I mean, I found when it comes to our rights, until something hits home with people, they're usually pretty apathetic. And then once it gets close to home and it affects them, all of a sudden, you know, now it's a call to arms and they get angry, because it's going to affect them where they live, and then they want
right.
to do something about it. Well, folks,
right.
this is the time to do something about it, and this is like a steamroller, like a snowball going downhill, just picking up momentum, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So
I got news for you. They passed a law for that, too. You got to wear a helmet now when you ski.
Oh, God. Yep. Well, Sonny Bono, wasn't he responsible for that happening when he hit the tree?
Yeah, he forgot to duck.
Yeah, he was probably skiing beyond his means. But anyway, you know, people have to stay vigilant. I just can't reiterate it enough. Otherwise, motorcycling's going to go by the boards and
exactly. You know, it's like somebody types into the chat room, you know, he wanted to make the point that what in the hell the SPC and titled bikes supposed to do, special construction bikes, okay? Imagine trying to argue with the cop that your bike isn't a Harley or a manufactured bike.
Or even a manufactured bike. Good luck.
Right. You know, it's like the same thing, you know, it's people are, you know, it's crazy. I mean, when I got stopped Friday, the guy walked over and he goes, "Oh, you're on another bike?" "Yeah, I happen to have another bike. There happens to be three of them, but yeah, I'm on one of my other ones." You know, and that's
mm-hmm.
when he recognized who I was, and that's when all hell broke loose.
Junk hit the fan.
Yeah. But if you probably didn't get the first part of the show, Betsy, but
no,
I had
I
the
did.
Guy who he knows this guy, and they went and they had a little talk, and he told him that he was wrong and everything that he did to me that night. And the guy was like, you know, yeah, okay, until the traffic sergeant showed up and told him what he just told you is absolutely correct. I could turn on a recorder. I could do everything that I was doing. I could refuse to answer questions. I can refuse it. All kinds
right,
of stuff without
right.
a warrant. But when shit happens like that, when I got three guys standing there holding their guns, I mean, I got intimidated.
Smile. Yes, sir. Whatever you want, sir. Just don't shoot me, sir.
No, I'm not going to do that. I just stood my ground. I just
right.
kept repeating. I refused to give up those rights without a warrant. The next thing I know, my helmet was confiscated off my head.
Right. Well, that wasn't right. You know that.
Well, and he found out he did that wrong, too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens from here.
Well, from the beginning of the show, I stopped and talked to the lieutenant on the way home, who was in charge of those guys at night.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he listened sincerely. He wrote down my answers to his questions. And I told him who I talked to. I told him what I did. I told him that I placed the helmet on the table with
mm-hmm.
the paperwork. And they agreed that I could wear that helmet. And my newfound friend told me that, well, if I was in that meeting, I would have told him it's an illegal helmet. Because he's in that 1974 mode.
Right.
You know? And then the same thing, like somebody typed into the chat room, how can some trashy biker afford more than one bike? Because this guy told him, you know, these guys are riding $20,000 to $30,000
exactly.
motorcycles.
You know, that's the thing. We aren't trashy bikers.
No, I mean,
you know,
I have.
We're upstanding citizens who choose a mode of transportation, which is two wheels as opposed to four.
That's correct. I have $30,000 in my Dyna and $25,000 in my. And my Softail Night Trains.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't know. Maybe in the back of his mind, because the guy who's typing all this stuff
maybe
in the chat room.
Maybe he's envious.
Well, that too. But the guy in the chat room who I had on at the beginning of the show
mm-hmm.
knows this guy and happened to sell him his first Ironhead Sportster.
Really? And he's still
absolutely.
Got that attitude? That's.
Absolutely. To me, it's a jealousy thing. It's got to be. It's got to be.
What else could it be?
Unless he thinks I hit on his wife or something, I don't know. But, you know, and according to sources be known, I hear he's henpecked. But, you know, that's another show altogether.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well... Like I said, it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out with the taping of the stop and whatnot.
That's
I
true.
Do what I thought would happen. I bet it disappears.
You know, the gentleman just typed in
a, somewhere.
You know, how can some trashy biker afford that kind of a bike, right? Or have more than one? And then he typed in, unfortunately, cops don't think that way. You could be a computer engineer and a homeowner, and they always look at us as trashy bikers.
I know.
I mean, and you know how, you've seen how I dress, and
mm-hmm.
he's seen how I dress, and that's how I dress 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't wear the bandana, but my hair's down the middle of my back.
Yeah, but you know, you can't judge a book by the cover.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
I mean, we're only human and we all make mistakes.
Plenty
but
of customers who, when they come in my office, people would think, you know, oh, my God, that guy's full of grease. Well, yeah, he just got done wrenching his bike, you know, and looks like, you know, he couldn't afford, you know, the roof over his head, and yet lives in a gorgeous home, has, like yourself, several bikes, all well over, you know, $20,000 apiece. So, you know, you just can't go by the looks of people.
Yeah, it was, if my understanding is correct, when I got hit last year, all said and done, I had almost $38,000 to get my between the attorney and the insurance company and doing the things I needed to get done. It was almost $38,000.
Wow.
And we haven't even talked about the lawsuit yet.
Holy cow.
Yep. That was just to get my bike fixed.
Yeah. Do you know what kind of coverage the guy had? I'm sure your attorney must have requested a copy of his insurance.
Fantastic coverage.
Oh, okay.
I might be able to retire early.
Oh, there you go.
As long as this, all this stuff irritates my shoulder. I have 3 plates and 48 screws holding my right shoulder on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No, I know. You told me.
9 staples in my back. And my shoulder, is still a half inch down from the other one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky you're still alive and walking around.
Well, when I was in the emergency room, when the doctor took off my helmet, and then it disappeared. But when the doctor took off my helmet, he told me straight out, my jaw was dislocated. And if I wasn't wearing the helmet I was wearing, I would be on the table. I'd have a sheet over my head.
Wow. That's scary.
Yep. I put my head on top of my left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far my head twisted over sideways.
Oh, my goodness.
I landed on the side of my face and my shoulder. 65 feet I got thrown.
Ouch.
So all those, you know, all those character traits you see on my face,
mm-hmm.
I've led a hard life.
Well, you know, getting beaned by a cager
I wasn't beaned by a cager. I was beaned by a drunk on another bike.
Oh.
80 miles an hour.
Oh.
I was doing 80 when he hit me. I was riding my bike like a jet ski until I hit that bot dot and it flipped out from under me.
Oh, I didn't realize it. I thought for some reason it was a car.
No. No. And that guy's doing 7 years right now.
Wow.
He got sentenced September 10th.
Actually, you know, I just saw a story today about some guy who just got 40 years. For killing a biker. Where the hell is
mm-hmm. it? Well, we know that cop got 10 years for shooting the guy at the stop sign because he
yep.
raised his arm,
yep.
shot him in the back, and killed him.
Right. The hell state was that? I just saw it. Like you, I'm going in 14 different directions here.
Right. We just went over 6,600 people in the chat room.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So people must be calling their friends because this is taking
well,
off.
I'm
flabbergasted today.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
This is some heavy-duty stuff. Like I said,
motorcycling,
we know it, is going to change.
If I get any more excited, I'm going to pee on myself.
It's too much information.
I know. It's okay, though.
Oh, if you say so. Well, we lost, who was it, Fran and John, you said?
Oh, they're there. They're still on the phone, but...
But they're probably busy doing something.
Fran, are you still there, Fran?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
You
came back.
I thought you left us.
No, I've been on the whole time. I just couldn't talk to anybody. I kept saying hi.
Oh.
Really? We didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's strange.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the guy typed into the chat room again. It's like he wrote in there that cop that shot the guy in the back.
Yeah.
He's the only person that I've heard, and the person that typed into the chat room has heard that he got out on bond during his appeal.
Wow.
And only a cop would get that privilege.
Mm-hmm. You and I wouldn't get it.
No. No, you guys would be sending me stuff for soups and candy.
And even that, they'd search it.
That's okay. But, yeah, it's like, it's crazy.
Well,
we get six more people, and we're going to be over 7,000.
Nice.
Oh, I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Oh, my God.
It only
counts. Your feet won't touch the ground for the rest of the evening.
I know.
That 7,000.
That's because I'm going to be horizontal and going to sleep. I got to get up at 2:30.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Phil?
Yes.
That 7,000 only counts if they take the time and educate either another car person or another biker as to what's going on.
Right.
And I hope we're doing that right now. We must be because they're in. We just got somebody that joined us from Mexico City.
Wow.
All right.
And that's, I want you to send me everything so I can make sure I put it out in my newsletter and keep the troops informed.
Uh-huh. What? About my accomplishment today or something else?
No. Wise guy.
He's always a wise guy.
I know.
See, even Fran knows. You know, I'm going to tell you, Betsy, though. You know those pictures I got under the flag?
Yeah.
Is that
the woman who took the pictures?
This is the woman who took the pictures, and she told me
what a great job. You look like a professional.
she even entered those pictures
job.
In a contest, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's the only time I've ever had a woman on her back in a parking lot for 4 hours.
Yeah, those were well done.
I do my best.
Well, your best was pretty good.
I didn't
see your worst. Your worst must be pretty good, too.
Unfortunately, when it comes to contests, it's just like everything else. Bikers are not appreciated unless it's in a biker magazine.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't matter whatever else contents it is. If it's not, I mean, in a motorcycle magazine, I took first prize for one of my photos and told it's wonderful, adi, 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 about, from other judges.
Mm-hmm.
However, not enough to actually win a prize because
there was a biker.
Because, right, it's dealing with bikes.
Wow. Gee, you know, we've been trying so hard to change that mindset for years.
You want to have fun? I'll tell you what you do. You put little stuffed animals on the back. All the little kitties go, oh, look, mommy, mommy, and mommy.
Oh, yeah, well, we do that on the toy rides.
Oh, no.
Fran, all year round. Betsy.
Yes.
Fran's bike looks like Toys R Us.
Oh, really?
All year round.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to send you a picture. I'll send your link to her.
Send me a photo.
All you got to do is just go to my website, my photo website. You'll see my biker friends. You'll see me on Alaska.
Okay. All right, what is your biker website?
My photo website is www.franmcob.com.
B as in Victor?
B as in boy.
Oh, boy, okay, .com.
And that will take you to my photos.
Up on the top of the page,
okay.
It has all the runs and everything in there. The paralyzed vet run is on there. The Vietnam Wall's on there. The San Diego helmet run is on there.
I didn't get all the pictures up on the Vietnam Wall yet.
Okay, but there's even a link to my pictures there. Just bragging, though.
Wow, you do a great job. You're like a pro.
Thank you, darling. I work hard at it.
You're welcome, honey.
But I've taken a couple, you know, prizes, and again, when it comes to a really good bike photo,
it's not
going to do it, and that's because you still
maybe
have that.
Maybe we should work on changing that too.
It's very difficult because you still have people that are afraid. You have mommies and daddies that are afraid that if their kid likes it too much, they may want one when they grow up.
Buy one and become a biker.
Right.
Ooh.
And it's unfortunate because what's also happening is I don't know, we're going to have to see how this plays out, but you have all the individuals that are now on scooters.
Yeah.
Scooters are going to bring our numbers of fatalities up.
Oh, absolutely. We just had one the other day here on a Vespa. And
hey, just,
a guy from the
just the other day, not to interrupt you, but just the other day, the EPA fined Pep Boys $5 million for selling those illegal bikes in the stores.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yes. Didn't see that article?
No,
that one I didn't see. Want to get that to me, please?
I'll get it out and I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
I thought I sent it to you already.
I like to share information. That's what makes the world
go. You have to look
around
to those 2,300 emails because I thought I sent it to you already.
I didn't see it. I think I would remember that one.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play my favorite song.
Okay.
And I'm going to dedicate it to the cops. And I want you guys to listen to this. Okay? Betsy, as soon as you hear it, I think you're going to know what it is. Fran, this is probably your first
time.
Yes? Yes.
After the show is over, give me a call at the house.
I will.
Okay.
Fran, it was a pleasure. I hope I get to speak with you again soon.
Next week.
I was lucky because I wasn't working tonight. I also happen to work in ER and in a couple other places.
Oh, okay.
So, and motorcycle parking is the only way to go. Trust me. Working at the college, the only place you can get parking is in motorcycle parking.
Right.
Okay.
So.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I only have 2 minutes left, and I'm going to play this song. And I dedicate this to the ATF, the Biker Task Force, any law enforcement agency. It's going on right now.
In the grocery store, all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. And their mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greasy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like
song.
It, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride
big
motorcycles, and I like to eat
pussy
too. And I like
to
kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy-ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. Bother me none if the public thinks we're the scourge of society. I know a lot of little poor kids that don't see things your way. Cause on Christmas Day, they got a full belly and a teddy bear under the tree. They know Santa wears leather and he rides a two-wheel sleigh. Still I like to ride big motorcycles, and I love the little children's too. Your opinion of me don't amount to shit if you don't like it. Fuck you. You heard me. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. Sing. And I like to kick the shit out of hunkers and faggots, and if you don't like it. Oh, y'all sing along this time now. And I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to empty my 44 and boy George, and if he don't like it, fuck him too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sure boy George will appreciate that one.
That's true.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right.
Good night,
hon.
I'll call you in a few minutes.